does God take people like us, and you just look around all the differences up, like that we exhibit, and how does God create within this body a growing unity? And as we read this portion of Scripture, you'll want to look for what God says about the growth of unity. And I'll share with you in these few moments we have together five signs of a healthy growth in unity. Let's start reading. I'll read beginning in verse 11. You follow along and we will read through the end of this portion of Scripture, verse 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, when we consider these five signs of healthy growth, there are three questions I want you to think about. The first question is, or the first thing I'd like you to do is I would like you to look at your own spiritual growth and ask yourself, are there in my life presently, are there signs of healthy spiritual growth in my life? The second question I would like you to ask and really pray about and think about is, what about our congregation? In this congregation at Stanley Heights, are there signs of healthy spiritual growth within this body? And let's take a hard look and ask God to help us to see. And then the final question then I would like you to think about is this. Will you contribute to the healthy growth of this church body? All right? Three great questions to think about. And let's ask God to speak to us as we think about them and open his word together. So, Lord God, now you have, in this passage of Scripture, told us some wonderful truths that will guide us. You have spoken in so many ways and so clearly. We are grateful. But we ask, O Spirit of God, that you would speak, not just with clarity as you have in your word, but you would speak personally to us as individuals. There may be people without Christ that are here in our congregation in this service. Maybe people online that yet do not know Christ. There are people that are part of your body here that are with us. Some are out. Others, maybe they're watching online, listening, however. But you want to speak to us. And you want to do a work that brings glory to yourself and manifests you and who you are and your work in the lives of the people of this congregation and through this congregation for Jesus' sake. And we ask you to do this, for we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, let's talk about then these five signs of healthy growth in unity. There are five different words. I'll give you the words. Now, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to ask you to talk back to me and help repeat that. So I'm expecting great things out of you. I'll give you time to write your notes and repeat it with me. Here we go. Here's the first sign of growth and healthy unity. The first one is the word cooperation. I'll say it again. I'll ask you to shout it back to me. Maybe not a shout. That would really make Stanley Heights people uneasy. All right, here's the word. It's cooperation. Say it with me. The first is?
Cooperation.
you are on fire. Boy, look at you right out of the gate. Cooperation. So you see what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Of course, you have these gifts that God gives. And here's the reason God gives these gifts in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You see, the Lord's church is a working partnership. It's a partnership between two different parties. One of the parties is perfecting pastors. The other is serving saints. Now, you'll notice the first partner in this working partnership, perfecting pastors. How many of you are glad we're not talking about perfect pastors? Aren't you glad we gave up on that a long time ago? Whew, yes, you better believe it. The term perfecting is a wonderful term that sometimes you might think of it this way. Perfecting could be, think of my preference on it, would be training. Some might even translate it equipping. If you were reading this and you were a fisherman and you read this, say, hey, I know that word. We fish and we cast our nets, and sometimes as we cast our nets, sometimes our nets break. And every so often we have to check our nets and we have to mend our nets so that they're effective. That's what we do. We perfect, we equip our nets. If you were a physician and you're reading this, hey, I know that word. Sometimes I'll have a patient, and that patient comes in, and there's a broken bone, and we take the broken bone, and we set that bone, and then we bind that bone together so that as it heals, it can be restored to usefulness. That's what we do. If you're a teacher, you said, hey, I know that word. Because sometimes what I do is I teach my students and I share with them the information that they need to know about the subject because then they can make progress in their own education. That's what I do. I'm perfecting, I'm equipping, I'm training. And God takes this concept and he says, here in this partnership, there have to be pastors that are willing to be trainers, to be perfectors, to prepare the people of that congregation to fulfill the mission that God has for them in their lives. Now, how does this take place? Well, there are a number of ways this takes place. I'll briefly mention a few things. One of the ways that pastors train is by teaching the Word of God to help you to understand what God says and how God thinks and to apply God's truth in your life so that as you are growing and learning and you're confronting matters in your workplace, you're dealing with matters in your life, you're thinking to yourself, what does God say about this? And teaching people how to think biblically and respond biblically and how to know and study the Bible on your own so that the Bible isn't just this book that we hear about, we read about on Sunday, and the preacher goes on and on and on. And you say, well, he does go on and on. Yeah, I do go on and on. But it's not just that. This is about a book that is a living book that gets put into my life and my thinking and helps me wisely to live. So we equip by teaching you the word. We teach you, equip by training you in the work of God. And one of the things that is a job of a pastor is to teach you how to do the work of God. What is something that you need to learn how to do? Teach you how to share Christ with people? How to pray? How to work? If you want to, maybe you want to work in our children's ministry. Isn't it good to learn how to do that? Choose whatever area it is. One of my jobs. And our pastoral team here is to train you in the work of God and to train you how to walk with God. Because you learn to walk with God by walking with God. So we train you in the work of God and walk with God. Another way we equip is providing opportunities to do the work of God. And helping arrange chances for you to be involved in things that matter in eternity and bless others and honor the Lord. And then sometimes one of the things that is a part of our training process and equipping is to provide motivation. How many of you know that sometimes motivation wanes a little bit? Have you found that to be true? How many of you get excited at the beginning of the year because you've got your New Year's resolutions? And then about a week into the new year, well, sometimes it's not just knowing what we ought to do, it's being motivated, encouraged to do what we ought to do, given an opportunity. God the Spirit working in our life, pastors that are faithful and equipping and challenging and training and preparing the people to do the work that God has for them. But this partnership to work together is not just the role of perfecting pastors, but it is also serving saints. He gave some apostles and prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You see, every one of us is in the ministry. If you've been saved by the grace of God, every one of us is in the ministry. Whatever it is that God has placed in your life, the place that He sends you, every place you go, if you're one of God's saints being born again by faith in Jesus Christ, every one of us shares in the Lord's ministry. In our home, your workplace, that's your place of ministry. Your community, your neighborhood maybe, your involvement in maybe civic organizations. All of these are places that God puts you. It's part of the ministry He has for you, and He has you in those places. All of this, including His church, is the sphere where God has put you in the work of the ministry. And so together, we share this. And a church that is healthy has pastors who train and people who share in the work of the ministry with all of us together. Now, that brings me then to, beside this working partnership, to an important question. And that is, why is this essential for growth and unity? I'll tell you why it's essential for growth and unity. Because when pastors train people to do the work of the ministry and prepare them to fulfill the mission God has for their life, and the people are willing to take the responsibility for their own growth and for fulfilling the mission that God has for them, that means that everybody has skin in the game. This is a working partnership. This isn't just a passive partnership where I'm watching someone on TV and they do their thing and I live my life. No, this is a working partnership with real life people, all of us sharing together. And when you become responsible within a body and for your own growth and for your own development and blessing and serving others, all of a sudden you get skin in the game. And it brings us then to this, and that is that this must be a convictional cooperation. A conviction for training pastors. I guess think of it this way. A pastor, in one sense, he's like a player coach. He's coaching, but he's also playing. And he's part of it. And this should be one of your expectations for pastors. There are expectations you should have that are biblical, and one of the biblical expectations you should have is that pastors, our pastors at our church, are doing ministry, but they are not just doing ministry, they are putting me in a place to carry out ministry. So that there's doing and there's helping you to do it, because this is the mission God has given you in your life. And my goal is to help you fulfill the mission that God has for you in your life in some part. And you ought to expect it. Expect that from the pastors, and then you also ought to expect, and God expects, a convictional cooperation of serving saints. And I'll be trainable and I'll be available and I will invest my life in serving others and serving Christ. And you know, a healthy church, a church that is a spiritually healthy body, you can tell one of the ways that it's a spiritually healthy body is there evidence of cooperation? serving saints, and perfecting pastors. Now I want you to stop for a minute and let's go ahead and take a few moments and think about your own life. Am I faithful to my part in this? And let's look at our congregation. Is this a place that exhibits signs of this sign of spiritual health? Spiritually healthy bodies, you know they're healthy because there's cooperation. Then there's another sign of a spiritually healthy body. The first is cooperation. Here's the second. Are you ready? Number two. The second sign of a spiritually healthy body is the word edification. Edification, say it with me. Are you ready? The second sign is what? It is edification. Yes, you're on fire. Well, then you'll notice, if you will, look in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. The pastors are perfecting of the, there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's the partnership that we enjoy, the cooperation. And here is why. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What does the word edification mean? Well, the word edification means to build. In the New Testament, this is a term that is used of building buildings, or it is used of building people. Now, earlier in this book, God talks about his church, and one of the ways he describes his church, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, is that it's like a building. This church, verse 20 of chapter 2, is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together with for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So as serving saints and perfecting pastors work together, God is building his church. Now, how do you know God is at work building his church? Well, let me give you some evidence that God is indeed at work building his church. You'll find in verse 13 these words. We are told, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God. This is the manifestation of edification. How you know that God is working and building a body is that we know by what we're learning. We are coming to this unity in the understanding of the truth and into Christ's likeness, to this knowledge of the Son of God. So we are growing not just in our knowledge of truth, but we are growing in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So what are you learning? How are you growing in your personal walk with Jesus Christ? So you know we're growing by what we're learning, and you know we're growing by what we're becoming. So you keep reading in verse 12, or verse 13 rather, we are growing in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who is the perfect man? Well, look around. Maybe he's here. On second thought, maybe not. When you read the word perfect in the Bible, remember, think of it this way: becoming all that God wants me to become. So you know that God is building his body when people are becoming all that God wants them to become. And the measure, how you know you're arriving, is we are becoming to the measure, verse 13, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know that God is working when people in a congregation are becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. That's the standard. He is the goal, to be more like Christ. Now, if somebody asked you, what is God doing in your life? Could you say, well, this is what I'm learning. This is how God has been speaking to me and transforming my life. Is it so real That this is something that is to you not something you stammer over, but this is what God is doing in my life. In healthy congregations, you find that God is building his body, and healthy, spiritually healthy people are people that have a relationship with God that is dynamic, and they're growing and being transformed by God's grace and the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, this is time for you to think about, how are you doing in your growth with Christ? We have to ask, is there evidence that I'm spiritually healthy? So there's cooperation. The second sign of healthy spiritual growth is edification. And then there's a third sign. It's another word. It's the word discernment. I'll say it again, discernment. Say it with me. It's the word did great. And in fact, verse 14 describes three dangers for which to look out, some things you need to really deal with in your life. And you'll find if you're growing in Christ's likeness, these are dangers you'll always have to confront in some way. Here are the three dangers you have to deal with. The first is the danger of immaturity. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. You see, like children, we can all be selfish, think only of ourselves. Like children, we can all be short-sighted. We think of the moment and we think of the immediate, not the long term. Like children, we can all be easily manipulated or unwise. So that really immaturity is not just something that kids deal with and young people that are growing up. How many of you know that there are plenty of people that are grown adults, even at great ages, that still have to deal with the danger of immaturity? In early service, there was a lot of response to that one. Immaturity. And so God in his wisdom tells us something. If you find that you are immature and selfish, and you find that you are easily pushed and manipulated, and you find that life is all about you and God is speaking to you about it, God's word for you is grow up. Grow up. But then there's a second danger the Bible tells us about here, and it is the danger of instability. And you see this description of people that are not discerning, that they are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. How many of you saw some pictures from the hurricane that came through the Gulf Coast this past week or so? And boy, even up into the Northeast. Wow, what devastation. But it tells you about the power of wind, and it tells you about water and how water can be manipulated by the blowing of a wind and the powerful force. And friends, people that are growing in the Lord have to be careful because there are winds all about. Our enemy is putting winds about. There are people, and they exert influence. And if you're not careful, you can be pushed and swayed and manipulated. And if you doubt it, turn on the TV on the Christian station. If you doubt it, go to YouTube. And if you find yourself at times as an individual who is unstable, and particularly at moments in your life when you are more susceptible, be very careful. How do I How can I overcome this? Because all of us are unstable at times. And the only way that I'm finding whenever there's instability to my life is to shore up my life by living on biblical truth and by biblical principle. And that's how you're going to become less susceptible, is find what does God say, applying God's biblical truth. And He takes us when the winds are blowing and we're very susceptible and unstable. He brings stability into our lives. And then there's a third danger to look out for, and it is the danger of deception. So we're told these words in verse 14. God says, describes that we are not just children, and that we be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but carried about by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, how many of you have ever played the game Yahtzee? Who's played Yahtzee? Yeah. Anyone never played Yahtzee? You haven't played Yahtzee? Oh. Let me ask you this. For you all that are Yahtzee players, have these people that haven't played Yahtzee, do you think their life is incomplete? Yeah, the consensus seems to be no. It wouldn't hurt you, I guess. But you know, you have your Yahtzee. If you play, you take your... And how many of you really like Yahtzee? Who likes Yahtzee? Who likes Yahtzee? All right, you all like Yahtzee? Good, good, good. You take your dice and maybe in your hand. I think sometimes they'll have a little like a barrel or something or a cup or something. And then you shake that up and it's really noisy and throw it. And they try to bring all these combinations together. And if you get, I don't even know what they are, a full house and you count the numbers up. But if you get all of the die, the same number, what do you say? You've played it. There you go. My guess is you would say that a little more enthusiastically when you're actually playing and keeping score. Yahtzee! What would you do if you're playing Yahtzee and you found that there's somebody who's cheating and maybe they have a die that they've manipulated or they've got one hidden under their sleeve and they just have a way? This term, the sleight of men, is the only time this term is used in all the New Testament. And it describes somebody who is like that person that cheats in Yahtzee. And they manipulate a dice or a die. And they do so to cheat. And God takes this term and He says, listen, there are people out there, be careful, who are not looking out for your spiritual best. But be careful, because there are people that are trying to deceive you. And they'll use whatever sleight of hand to manipulate you and deceive you and draw you away from the truth and bring you into the bondage of error. Deception. And people that are spiritually healthy are growing in discernment and deal with these dangers: immaturity, instability, and deception. Well, how do I become more discerning? Did you ever wonder about that? I want to become more discerning. And oh, if there's a generation we need to be discerning, there's always a need for discernment. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author of Hebrews tells us how to become discerning. Not Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 5, excuse me, verse 12, I'll start reading. When the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, that's baby food, by the way, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. This is a person who does not skillfully apply the Bible to their life, and they still are children spiritually. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do I grow in discernment? I take the Bible that I know and the truth of the Bible, and I begin to use it and apply it to my life. And God deals with my thinking and transforms how I think and how I evaluate. And I apply the Bible to every area of my life. And I take this area of my life and God is helping me and he shows me the truth. And I apply it there and I seek to live out his truth in each of those areas. And the more you use and exercise yourself in practicing the Bible, the more discerning you become. You grow in discernment by discerning and practicing the truth, and God keeps growing you in discernment. And so your senses are exercised, worked out to discern good and evil. Well, there are signs of healthy growth. There's cooperation and edification and discernment. Here's the next one. The next one is confrontation. Say that with me. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Confrontation. Well, how many of you like confrontation? Not too many people like confrontation. Has to be done, right? Most people don't really like confrontation, and I have to tell you, the very few I've met over the years that like it, those are people that are sick puppies. There's something wrong with them. But sometimes you have to. And God tells us about confrontation in his local assembly. Look in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. When there's healthy growth, we love the truth enough to tell the truth, but when we do so lovingly. We love the truth enough to tell the truth, but when we do so, we do so lovingly. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So in healthy congregations, we embrace speaking the truth in love. Well, how many of you have ever heard that expression, the truth hurts? How many of you have heard that? How many of you have found that to be true? Yeah. It does. But you know that truth that sometimes is hard to accept is also the truth that liberates. Jesus said that it's the truth that you'll know and it's the truth that makes you free. So there are times whenever we have to be willing to be truth. The truth that is hard to take is also the truth that liberates. Paul the Apostle had a congregation, a church that he had planted, and they were getting into doctrinal error. In fact, there's a book written to them, and much of that book deals with the doctrinal error. It's the book of Galatians. And do you know what Paul asked these friends in the church of Galatia? He asked them this question, Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? All right. Can we make a deal? Would you mind if we all made a deal together? Let's make a deal. That would be a great idea for a TV show, wouldn't it? All right, let's make a deal. Not a TV show. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal that here at this church that we're going to be lovingly truthful with God and with ourselves and with one another. Is that a pretty good deal? Maybe a hard deal for us to keep our end, each of us. But let's make a deal that we're going to be lovingly truthful with God, ourselves, and one another. Well, there's one more sign of healthy growth. We read about it in verse 16. Before we read the scripture, I'll give it to you. The final sign of healthy growth is maturation. Maturation. And Paul, again, in this epistle, goes back to this picture of the church being like a body. He's done this a number of times already, and he goes back to it again in verse 16. When we read this, from whom? Actually, I'll start in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Christ is the head, and then we are the body. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together. The same expression is used in chapter 2, being framed together. Fitly joined together. So God puts us together and compacted. God holds us together by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you want to become more mature in your spiritual life? Do you really want to grow and become more mature? Well, in this portion of Scripture, God gives you some really great advice. The first thing you have to do is yield to the headship of Christ. He is the head, we are the body, and we say, Lord Jesus, in every part of my life, I want you to be the leader. I'll follow you. I'll submit to you. You're the head, and I'm willingly yielding myself to you. Have you yet come to that place? It may be you don't know Christ. You don't have a personal relationship with God by turning from your sin and trusting the Lord Jesus, God the Son, who died and rose again for you. If you've never yielded to Christ to be saved, today is the time for you to yield to Him to be saved. We'll give you a chance to do that later on. But now if you know Christ in that personal way and you've been saved by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace, now where are you in your life? Look at your life. Am I yielded to the headship of Christ? Lord, would you search out every area of my life? Am I yielded to your headship? You're the boss. And then, not just yielded to His headship, but then God has some other advice for you, and that is join in His partnership. So that we are told in verse 16 these words, that every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. And when all of these parts are working together, yielded to the head, we are told it maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Where the individual people of the body share with Christ and with one another, building one another, His body. Wow. Growing up. Maturation. Well, there are 5 signs to healthy growth, right? Do you think you could say them by memory? I don't know if I could, to be honest with you. One of the signs of healthy growth is cooperation. And then there's edification. And then there's discernment. Then there's confrontation. And finally, there's maturation. Did you know that if you will, and if you want to live a God-glorifying life, these 5 signs will be evident in your life. Evident. So I told you at the very beginning, there are 3 questions to ask. Here's the first question. Take a look at your own spiritual life. Are there signs in my own spiritual health? Are there signs of growth and health in my spiritual life personally? Ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me if there are signs that I'm healthy spiritually? The second one is look at our congregation. And this is one that we need to think together. And Lord, are there signs that this is a spiritually healthy congregation? Are we striving to live the very truths you said produce spiritual health? And then the third question is, Lord, how would you want me to be brought into a cooperative partnership with brothers and sisters in the Lord to be part of a healthy congregation? What is my part to contribute to the health of my local assembly? Let's all stand together, shall we?